Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim is Samach Zayin. We are in Samach Vav Amud Beis, the bottom of the Amud. We're going to be starting with the words of Ashkachan. It's the first very long line of the Amud, five lines from the bottom. The Gemara is going to be discussing today the idea that not only is the Karban Pesach going to be able to be overriding Shabbos, it's Docha Shabbos, but in addition to that, it's also going to be Docha Tumah as well. That's going to be basically the entirety of the discussion today. The discussion today is going to get a little bit complicated, but in terms of a summary, obviously, we'll summarize at the end, but in terms of a summary, that's the basic idea. Yesterday, we opened up the sixth parak of the Masechta, and we discussed yesterday, established yesterday, that Karban Pesach is Docha Shabbos, when the 14th day of Nisan coincides with a Shabbos. So the Karban Pesach is going to be offered that day, even though the Karban Pesach is going to include malachas that would be malachas d'oraisa. Nevertheless, those activities that have to be done the 14th, like Shechita, and the Mishnah gives a couple examples, like Shechita, like Zrikas Dam, like Michui Krevov, which we haven't defined what that is yet, and Haktaras Chalavim. So all those activities are going to be done on Shabbos, despite the fact that they're going to be violations of Shabbos, but they override. The activities of the Karban Pesach are going to override the Chilul Shabbos. That's what we learned yesterday. So not only is the Karban Pesach going to override Shabbos, but it's going to override Tumah as well. Not in all circumstances, in limited circumstances, as we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf, but Samach Zayin is going to be a day dedicated to Karban Pesach being Doche Tumah. So if we could just remember, Samach Vav is that Karban Pesach is Doche Shabbos. Samach Zayin is that Karban Pesach is Doche Tumah. Okay, that's the basic idea. Let's begin. Ashkechan, we start with the Gemara. Ashkechan, Tamid Pesach, the Dachu Shabbos. We know that the Karban Pesach and the Karban Tamid are both going to override the Shabbos, the Dachu Tumah Menalan. What is the source? Where is the source that tells us that the Karban Pesach is going to be overriding Tumah as well, Amrei? Now, they said, meaning whenever you see the word Amrei, it's probably the B'nai Yeshiva, right? While discussing this very issue in the Yeshiva, so they laid down the following, and that is Kihechid Yalav Pesach, Mitamid Linyan Shabbos, the same way that we learned out Pesach from Tamid regarding Shabbos. So Achanami Yalav Tamid Mi Pesach Linyan Tumah. We're gonna do the same thing as Tumah as well, meaning that Pesach and Karban Tamid go hand in hand, right? We had the word Moado by Pesach, we had the word Moado by Karban Tamid, and basically whatever the limud is for one, so that's going to be the limud for the other. That's what we did in yesterday's daf regarding the idea that Karban Pesach is going to override Shabbos. Karban Tamid also is going to override Shabbos. So we're going to do the same thing over here in today's daf as well. As it relates to Tumah, whatever the source is going to be regarding Karban Pesach, we can then transfer over that, that translates into the Karban Tamid as well, that the Karban Tamid can be brought in a state of Tumah. Now, okay, let's continue. We'll come back to the comparison between the two. O Pesach Gufa Minalan. Now the Gemara says, now by the Karban Pesach. Now what is the source that the Karban Pesach is going to override Tumah? So Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Kras. So the Gemara now is going to offer two possible sources in terms of how we know that the Karban Pesach is going to override Tumah. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Kras. The pasuk says, Ishish Kiyeh Tameh Lenefesh. When an individual is Tameh. In other words, the Torah over here in Parshas Baloscha. So it's introducing us to the idea of Pesach Sheni. And the idea is that if a person's Tameh and unable to bring the Karban Pesach at its allotted time, meaning the 14th day of Nisan, so he gets pushed off for a month. In other words, within a month's time, he'll have enough time to be Matar himself, and then he'll bring in a Pesach Sheni. Good. And in a short amount of time here in our Masechta, we're going to be discussing Pesach Sheni in much greater detail. In the ninth parak of Pesachim, so there we're going to be discussing Pesach Sheni in much greater detail. But in the meantime, however, as it relates to Pesach Sheni, the Torah says, Ish ishki etame lenefesh. If individuals are tame. Now, the Torah says the word lenefesh over there. Now, hold that thought, because later we're going to come back to that word. But if an individual becomes tame, and the drasha, according to Rav Yochanan, goes like this, Ish nidchel Pesach Sheni, ve'ein tzibor nidchel Pesach Sheni. So an individual gets pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but not a tzibor, which means to say, Ela avdei betumah. The tzibor is going to be offering the Karban Pesach in a state of tumah. If, now when we say tzibor, we most probably mean, or let's say better, we definitively mean the majority of the Jewish people. If the majority of the Jewish people are in fact now Tameh for Pesach Rishon, so there is no postponement, there is no delay, and they, meaning everybody's going to be now be bringing it on Pesach Rishon, and this is the idea that the Karban Pesach is going to be overriding Tuma. This is the source according to Rabbi Yochanan. Just for a moment, let's spend a little bit of time talking about this idea that the Gemara very comfortably refers to the Karban Pesach as a Karban Sibur. Okay, it's not super clear that the Gemara is describing the Karban Pesach as a Karban Sibur. So, ain't Sibur nitchin la Pesach Sheni. It means that the community is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So, it's not perfectly fair what I'm saying, that the Gemara describes the Karban Pesach as a Karban Sibur, but it's pretty close to it. Anyway, the Karban Pesach, is it a Karban Sibur? So not in a classic sense. Meaning a Karban Sibur in a classic sense is the following. There is a machzis a shekel, a contribution made by everybody. Call it a tax, it doesn't matter. But the contribution made by everybody towards public carbonus, carbon seabor, money then is taken from the public funds and used to purchase carbon seabor. So carbon seabor, in its most classic sense, is money that's purchased from public funds. Public funds, obviously, that is collected annually from every individual. Good. So this is a carbon seabor in the most classic sense. Is that true by the carbon Pesach? Well, on one hand, everyone does bring the carbon Pesach. On the other hand, that's not purchased from public funds. Carbon Pesach is purchased from private money. In other words, you and I, we're going to make our chabura. You and I are going to raise the money in order to purchase a carbon Pesach. So the carbon Pesach is not a carbon seabor in the classic sense. On the other hand, everyone does bring the carbon Pesach. So it is a carbon Sibur in the most literal sense, in that every person is going to be participating in a carbon Pesach. So it's a little bit difficult to put your finger on what exactly the carbon Pesach is. Is it a carbon Yachid? Yes. Is it a carbon Sibur? Also yes. So it's somewhere somewhere in the center of the spectrum of what is a carbon Yachid versus what is a carbon Sibur. Anyway. But the idea over here, according to Rav Yochanan, is that when you have not the majority of the Jewish people who are Tamei, so then they're going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But if you have the majority of the Jewish people who are Tamei, so then there is no postponement, and Pesach is going to be offered despite the fact that people are Tamei. Just to be clear, when you're Tamei, so you can, aside from, of course, not being able to eat karbanos, you can't even walk into the Beis HaMikdash. A person who's Tamei is going to be barred and banned from the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as we're going to be learning later this morning, it really depends on the type of tumah that a person has, which is going to play a factor of how far outside of the Beis HaMikdash needs to be. But for our purposes right now, suffice to say that a person that is carrying with him any kind of tumah is a certain amount of ban from the area of the Beis HaMikdash. With that stated, so now you understand that it becomes unbelievably clear that a person who is Tamei under normal circumstances cannot go into the area of the Beis HaMikdash, cannot offer Karban Pesach, and with a notable exception to the to our case over here, where you have the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei, and then you can offer it. This is all according to Rav Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish leRav Yochanan Ema. So let's suggest the following, and that is Ish Nitcha lePesach Sheni and Sibur Leslei Takanta. So Lo bePesach Rishon vLo bePesach Sheni. So Rish Lakish says, look, if this is going to be our source, why don't we suggest the following? All the Torah really says, meaning if you want to boil down what the drasha is that a community does not bring Pesach Sheni. Why don't we just stop there, says Reish Lakish, meaning let's just leave it as that. A community cannot be postponed to Pesach Sheni. Meaning what Reish Lakish is arguing, and it sounds like a really good argument, is that the Torah does not give allowance to offer for the community to offer on Pesach Rishon. All the Torah is saying is that individuals are pushed off to Pesach Sheni. A community is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And Reish Lakish says, and stop right there. And that's it. And there would be no allowance whatsoever for a community to offer on Pesach Rishon. This idea that a community can offer a carbon in a state of tuma is a chiddush. It's a really novel idea. So Reish Lakish now makes an argument. So just don't say it. You don't have to go that far. And it brings us to a strange conclusion, and that is that if a community is tamei, if the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, so then they're not going to bring carbon Pesach altogether. Okay, that's a strange conclusion, but to the point where Rav Yochanan went, which is then that you could bring the Karban Pesach in a state of tumah, Reish Lakish says the Torah doesn't say that, and so maybe We don't have to go so far as to say that. So Reish Lakish clearly does not like the source of Rav Yochanan. Ela Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Mehacha. So Reish Lakish does agree with the halacha, meaning everyone agrees to the halacha that the Karban Pesach is going to be overriding Tumah. It's just now a question of where the source is going to be. So this is now Reish Lakish offering what is going to be our second source. Right? There are going to be two in total, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So here we are now being introduced to Reish Lakish. So you're going to be sending out from the machane anyone who is saruazav and chol tamei lenefesh. The Torah over here clearly outlines three different types of tumah, where all of them are going to be sent out. Now, this is Reish Lakish's analysis of the pasuk. Yomer tamei meisim val yomer zavin mitzarayin. You know, the Torah could just simply say that if you're tamei meisir, you're excused, and from there we would have known zav, we would have known mitzara. Im tamei meisim mishtakin zavin mitzara lekol shekein. If our tamei meisir is going to be sent out, so certainly the zav and the mitzara are also going to be sent out as well. How much more so? Now this kavachomer, this kol shekein. So we don't understand it right now at this juncture in the daf. We will later on. So let's just hold that thought, how the Gemara so comfortably knew that if a Tamei Mase is being sent out, so for sure a Zav and a Mitzar is going to be sent out as well. So that means to say then that the Zav and the Mitzar are at this point in time superfluous. So Elam, Yeshach HaShazman, now we're on the top of Samach Zayin and Aleph, so the Gemara says, so what comes out over here is the following. It must be that there's going to be a time Shazav and Mitzvah Mishtachin, where Zav and Mitzvah are going to be sent out, and the Ein Tamei Mesa Mishtachin, and the Tamei Mesa is not going to be sent out. Okay, good. So we have some sort of leniency in a Tamei Mesa, because if there wasn't this leniency, so Tamei Mesa should have been written in the Torah, and that's it, and everyone else for sure would have been sent out. So we have some sort of leniency built into the Tamei Mesa. And what is it? So is that Pesach HaBa B'Tumah? So Reish Lakish says it must be Pesach HaBa B'Tumah, meaning that if the Jewish people are subject to Tumas Meis, so under those circumstances, so only the Tumas Meis get to stay in, everyone else has to leave. Okay, good. So this is the source of the Karban Pesach overriding Tumah, specifically that of Tumas Meis, and this is the way we're going to darshan according to Reish Lakish. Amar Abaye, so Abaye now is going to revisit the drasha of Reish Lakish. E hachi lemanami. So the Gemara says, So Abaye says, so why don't we say the following? Yomer zav utamei mesim v'yomer mitzora. Look, as far as now, which tamei person has to excuse himself from the area of the Beis Hamikdash, the Torah could just simply list zav tamei mes, and then there would be no need for mitzora. V'ani omer zav mishtalech mitzora lo kol shekein. If the Zav is to be sent out, so the Mitzorah for sure should be sent out as well. Ela, yesh techashash Mitzorah Mishtachin, the Ein Zavin, Utmei Mesa Mishtachin. So it must be that there's a time when the Mitzorah is going to be sent out, but the Zav and the Tamei Mesa are not going to be sent out. Vezes e Pesach HaBa B'Tumah. And that would be the case of Pesach HaBa B'Tumah. Meaning what Abai is going to do is basically take the same argument of Reish Lakish, but just simply extend it one more level. And that is that by virtue of the fact that the Torah lists Tamei Meis and Zav and Mitzora, it must mean that there must be a circumstance where Tamei Meis and a Zav have a specific leniency that you don't have by the Mitzora. Because otherwise, why even write Mitzora altogether? Meaning just simply have Tamei Meis and have Zav and Mitzora could just be derived from there. It must be that they're, we're just using Reish Lakish's argument, but now we're just extending it one more level. It must be that there's a scenario where there's a Tamei Meis and there's a Zav who stay in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mitzorah is going to be excused, and that is Pesach HaBa B'Tumah. Now, what that means, that is Abai is using Reish Lakish's argument, and the conclusion that he's arriving at is that not only is a Tamei Meis going to be allowed to offer a Karban Pesach in the state of Tumah, but a Tamei Meis and a Zav are allowed to offer Karban Pesach B'Tumah. That's Abai just taking Reish Lakish's argument and bringing it to its logical conclusion. V'chitei machanami. Now the Gemara says, now, okay, so maybe we're right about this. V'atanan. But the Gemara says, but we know we're not right. We know we're not right about this, because we're going to see later in our Masechta Pesach HaBa B'Tumah that when it comes to Karban Pesach that is allowed to be brought in a state of Tumah, lo yochlumi menu zavus nidos v'yoldos. So who's not allowed to participate in this Karban Pesach? Azav, Azava, Nida, Yoledus, all these different types of Tumah are not allowed to participate within such a such a carbon Pesach. V'im achlu paturim. Now, if they do eat, they're going to be pater. They're not going to be subject to the karis penalty, which normally comes about for somebody who is tame eating kachim. But short of that, they're not allowed to participate. So you see now that Abai's point seems to be really strong, in that if we use the Reish Lakish model of Hadadarshan, so not only would it mean that a Tamei Mase is allowed to participate in Karban Pesach, but a Zav also is allowed to participate in Karban Pesach, but we just simply know it's not the case. The Mishnah later on could not say it any clearer that a Zav is not participating in Karban Pesach. So Allah Amar Abai La Ola Mikra Kama. So the Gemara says, okay. So Abai says, look, I'm going to clearly favor now not the Reish Lakish approach, but rather the Rav Yochanan approach. The Rav Yochanan approach of Ish. So that is the approach that Abai says really arrives us at the conclusion that a Karban Pesach is brought by Tumah, specifically the Tumah of Tumas Mace. And La'olam Mikra Kama, Im Kain. Now, if you remember, why didn't Reish Lakish like the Drasha of Rav Yochanan? Because it had a built-in question that came along with it. Remember, in the beginning of today's shir. So we said that the Rav Yochanan approach is good. However, why don't we suggest, right, go back to the bottom of the previous Amud. So why don't we suggest that an individual is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but a community is just simply not going to be bringing Karban Pesach at all. Meaning just stop the Chiddush right there. And don't go to the next level, which is, but a community can bring it Betumah even on Pesach Rishon. That's how Rav Yochanan wanted to understand it. And what Reish Lakish said is that the Torah doesn't say that. Even the inference doesn't say that. You're really going too far. So what Abai is going to do is that he's going to resurrect the Drasha of Rav Yochanan and also address the question of Reish Lakish. So, Lola Mikra Kama, we're really going to go back to the first Drasha, meaning Rav Yochanan's Drasha, and Imkain. And now let's address how Abaye is going to salvage the Drasha of Rav Yochanan. Nichto Rechmane Ish Ki Yeh Tamei. The Torah says when individuals are Tamei, Linefesh Lamali. Now, if the entire point of the Torah is just simply to tell me that individuals are pushed off, communities are not pushed off, the word lanefesh becomes superfluous. Now, v'chite mahay lanefesh lahakidasa. Now, I'm sorry, before we get to this next point, and what's lanefesh coming to teach me? Lanefesh is coming to teach me that if I have the majority of the Jewish people who are tamei meis, that's lanefesh, so then there's going to be an allowance that they're going to be able to offer the Karban Pesach b'tzibur, even on Pesach Rishon. Now, v'chitema, now maybe you'll tell me, ha'la nefesh achudasi, aval shar tameim lo. V'chitema, ha'la nefesh achudasi. So, ha'tameim mesu denichela Pesach sheni, aval shar tameim lo. The Gemara says, now, there is a possibility to come up with an alternative explanation of the word lenefesh. And that is, maybe the Torah is coming to teach me that the only one who gets postponement to Pesach Sheni is only going to be somebody who is Tamei Lenefesh, meaning a Tamei Meis. Right now, what the Gemara is proposing is that maybe the entire point of the Pasuk over here is that postponement to Pesach Sheni is only limited to Tamei Meis. Maybe that's it. That time the Gemara says, but we know that's not correct as well. We learned at a Braisa, Yachol, Lo, Yu, Osim, Pesach Sheni, El, Tamei Meisim, Vishayu, Bederch, Rechoka. So here in this Braisa, we are as a Hava mean entertaining, that the only one who received postponement to Pesach Sheni are those who are Tamei Meis, Zavon, Mitzorin, Balei, Nidos, Minayin, Tamalama, Ish. So how do I know that anyone who is carrying any kind of tuma, either tuma zav or tuma smitzora or a bol nida, how do I know that they're going to be able to be postponed to Pesach Sheni? The Torah says ishish larabos. That's coming to be a ribui. Okay, I know I added the word larabos, but that's the drasha. The drasha is ishish. Any individual, the repetitive language of ishish tells me that anyone who's in a state of tuma is able to be postponed to Pesach Sheni. Le nefesh dekasav rachman alamali. Good. So now that I know that every single person who is Tamei is going to be able to be postponed to Pesach Sheni, Lenefesh now, which is perfectly superfluous. So what's that coming to teach me? It's coming to teach me now a special halacha. And that is that there is going to be an occasion where Pesach Rishon, and you could bring the Karban Pesach in the state of Tuma. What's that occasion? When it's not Ish, meaning when it's a Tzibur, and on top of that, the Tuma is specifically Tumas Mace. So when you have those two features, so then Pesach could be brought in a state of Tuma. This is now how everything is going to get balanced according to Abaye. So basically, according to Abaye, we're salvaging now Rav Yochanan's Drasha, and Rav Yochanan's Ish is really teaching me two separate points. Point number one is the explicit point of the psukim. And that is that individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, period. And all individuals, that's ish, meaning regardless of what tumah it is that's going to preclude them from bringing it on Pesach Rishon, they're going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That's point number one of Rav Yochanan's Rasha, as explained by Abaye. And point number two is that there's also an implicit statement within the Pasuk, and that is Lenefesh. Lenefesh is there to teach me that if we have a scenario in which people are tamei tumas mace, and they're the majority, meaning it's not ish, but rather it's a seaport, it's the majority of the Jewish people. So now there's a special allowance, which is that they're allowed to bring Pesach Rishon in a state of tuma. Elahachi kamar. And now the Gemara just spells all this out, what we just said. So elahachi kamar ish nitchel Pesach Sheni, v'in tzibar nitchel Pesach Sheni, ela avde betuma, v'chi avde tzibar betuma, betame meis. The only allowance for kam Pesach betuma is only tumas meis. Aval shar Tumas lo avdi, but not other tumas. This is all now the explanation of Rav Yochanan as salvaged by Abaye. Good. That kind of takes us to the end of the first half of today's daf. I know geographically we're not at the end of the first half, but basically if we're going to divide our daf into two, so this is now going to all fall under the category of our first part of today's daf. A drasha that teaches us that if the majority of the Jewish people are tamei tumas meis, so now there's an allowance that Karban Pesach is allowed to be brought in a state of tumah. And by the way, also let's just wrap it up in terms of going back all the way to the beginning of the daf today, and that is that this is not only true for Karban Pesach, it's also going to be true for the Karban Tumah as well. That if the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, so then you could bring the Karban Tumah also in a state of tumah as well. Good. Amar Rav Chisda. We are now up to the second half of today's daf, and we are going to be talking about Shiluach, being barred and banned and restricted from being in the Beis HaMikdash for these people who are tameh. So the Torah speaks about it in the beginning of Parshat Tzav, and so the Gemara now is going to be spending the rest of today's daf analyzing this particular parsha. Obviously, it has to do with what we just got done learning, because according to Reish Lakish, the source of Karban Pesach being brought in a state of tumah is coming from these psukim. Admittedly, according to Rav Yochanan, they're not, but still, it is germane to our discussion. I'm Rav Chisda Metzora Shenichnas Lefnim Mimechitza Sopater. If a Metzora goes into an area that he is barred and restricted from, now, as we're going to learn, the Metzora has to be sent out of all Gimel Machanos, all three camps. A quick recap, of the Machanos. We do this often in the daf, but let's do it again. So there are basically three perimeters, each with one within the other. The most interior perimeter is Machane Shechina. That's where the Mishkan is. Now, everything we're saying regarding the Jewish formation in the Midbar is going to be translatable to once we have a Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. So the Machane Shechina, that's where the Mishkan is. So that is the most interior. If we want to talk about what's that comparable to in the Beis HaMikdash, that would be where the Azara is. Not the Ezra's Nashim, but just simply the Azara. The temple courtyard where you have the Mizbech in the courtyard, and you obviously have the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash in the courtyard as well. Good. That is the most interior. From there, outward, so you have what in the Midbar, you have Machne Leviyah. In the Beis HaMikdash, that would be the Har HaBayis area. Then after that, you have Machne Yisrael in the Midbar, which in Eretz Yisrael, that would be the circumscribed walls of Yerushalayim. Anything within the area of those walls. Good. So those are the Gimel Machanos. And now, I'm Rav Chisda. Mitzora, now the Mitzora has to be excused from all three Machanos, right? We're going to make that point clear a little bit later on. And he goes, Lifnim mi mechitza so, and he happens to go in illegally. So, Pater, he's not going to be receiving Malkush. And now the Pasuk says, Badad Yeshiv Mechutz HaMachane Moshavo. The Torah says that he is going to have to be sitting outside. Hakas of Nitkol Aseh. So what the Torah is doing with this extra Pasuk regarding the Mitzorah is that by the Mitzorah we have now a Lav HaNitak Laseh, meaning the Torah says that a Mitzorah is not allowed to go into the area that's in Parsha Tzav. But going back to the Parsha in Mitzorah, so there, the Torah says that he is to go outside. And so that gives us the nituk, the way of rectifying what happens in the event that he does something wrong. So this is what we classically refer to as lav nitak laseh. For lav nitak laseh, So it's going to exempt you from malchus. You're not going to get lashes once the Torah gives us a remedy of how to resolve the issue. Classic example of a lavani takla is no sir. The Torah says regarding Noser, any leftover carbon. So you're not allowed to leave over Noser, meaning leaving over Noser in of itself is an Isser. But the Torah says that, right, again, going back to Parshas Bo. Lo so siru mi menu ad boker, one is not allowed to leave over Noser. Vanosar mi menu ad boker, but ish tisrofu. But if you do leave it over in the morning, so you're going to burn in fire. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah gives us a way of remedying, of rectifying the situation, so this is what is described as a lav ani tek laaseh, and therefore going to exempt you from malchus. What the Gemara is arguing over here, what Rav Chisda is arguing over here, is that this is also going to be true for our Mitzorah. Right, the Mitzorah has this unique halacha in which all Tamei people are banned from certain areas of the Beis HaMikdash, but when it comes to the Mitzorah, even though he violates an Isser Gomer by going in, he's not going to get Malkus because the Torah gives us a separate Pasuk, which gives us the way of remedying the situation. Now, it's a really simple remedy, and that is that if you go in, you just simply go out, right? It's the truth of the matter is that this remedy would work by any of the people who went and encroached and went into the area that they're not allowed to go into. So that part, admittedly, is a little bit strange, a little bit difficult to explain. Rashi over here also is bothered by a technical issue. Lav ani tek laaseh, generally speaking, what happens is that the Torah tells you what the lav is, and the Torah tells you what the remedy is immediately afterwards, like the example I gave by Noser. Over here, it doesn't really work out that well. Meaning that the lav is introduced to us in Parshat Tzav, that's in the beginning, towards the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, and the aseh and the nituk is back in Parshat Mitzorah, which is earlier in the Torah. So Rashi picks that up, and Rashi deals with the fact that, yes, there are ways to try to explain that. Okay, you see Rashi over here inside, Dibra Maslan Mitzkul Aseh. Rashi offers a couple of explanations of how to deal with that issue. Okay, so, but nevertheless, though, the Gemara's understanding is that for the Mitzori, he's not going to get Malkus because it's a lav ani tek laaseh. And also, by the way, just more on this topic, which I'm just going to highlight, I'm just going to raise awareness, and we're not going to go through it inside, is that this pshat of Rashi, that the Mitzori going into the area that he's restricted from is a lav ani tek laaseh. Tosus doesn't like the way Rashi's presenting it, that this is going to file under the category of a lav ani tek laaseh. In fact, the Gemara doesn't use that language. The Gemara's language is a kasuv nitko la'aseh. Doesn't use the classic language of lav ani tek laaseh. Tosus' understanding is that mechanically it operates a little bit differently than lav ani tek laaseh. You can see the top Tosus over here that discusses that issue. Anyway, comes out over here, let's say it, however, nice and simple, and that is according to Rav Chisda, when a Mitzorah goes into an area that he's banned from. And now he's banned from all three machanos. He can't go into machane Shechina, not machane Levia, not even Machane Yisrael. He has to be outside of all three. So when a Mitzorah goes in, so he's not going to get Malkus because, I'll say like Rashi, it's a lav ani tek laaseh, Eisvei. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's challenge that very idea based on a Braisa. The Braisa over here is going to be really clear. Mitzorah shenichnas lefnim mechitzaso be'arba'im. When the Mitzorah goes into a restricted area, he's going to get lashes. And zav and zava shenichnas lefnim mechitzaso be'arba'im. Same thing with a zav and a zava. So they're also going to get malchus. If they go into an area that they were going to be restricted from, we're going to be talking momentarily about which areas they are restricted from. V'tamimeis mota lekanas lemachin levia. The tamimeis can go into machin levia. And v'lo tamimeis bavad amru ala afilu meis atzmo. Even the mace can go into machin levia shenemar v'ikach Moshe satzmo siyosef imo. Imo b'mechitza. So this week's parsha. So we know that Moshe goes in to carry collecting with him the Atzmos Yosef. Atzmos Yosef is Tumas Mace, meaning it's the actual mace itself. And Moshe is taking it in with him basically into his encampment. Moshe is from Shevet Levi. Obviously, he's living in Machane Levia. So not only is the Tamei Mace allowed to go into Machane Levia, Mace itself also is allowed to go into Machane Levia as well. Okay, and just for a moment, by the way, translate that into into our day and age. So that means to say that we're all Tamei Mace, meaning we all came into contact with either the Mace or somebody who came into contact with the Mace. So the assumption is that everybody's Tamei Mace. So what does that mean? It means that we can't go into the Azara, but we're allowed to go into the Har HaBayis area. Okay, the Tamei Mace is in fact allowed to go into the Har HaBayis area. As we're going to see later on, a Zav and a Zava and a Balkari are going to be restricted from the Har HaBayis area. Okay, we'll talk about that later on. So that means that if somebody's going to go into the Har HaBayis area, which I am not taking a position whether he should, shouldn't. But if someone's going to go into the Harabais area, so the Tumas Mace is not precluding him from that area, but the Zav Balkeri is going to preclude him from that area, and that needs to be resolved, i.e. that person has to go into the mikvah. Okay, anyway. So, Tanahi. What comes out over here is the following. It's clear from the Braisa that the Mesorah, who goes into a restricted area, is going to get Malkus. Rav Chista was trying to argue that you're not going to get Malkus, and so the Braisa is going against Rav Chista Tanahi. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's a Machlokas Tanahim Titania. And so here we are now going to be starting a Braisa that pretty much is going to take us for the rest of today's daf. The Braisa starts off as follows. Badad Yeshev, our Mitzorah is going to be sitting in seclusion. So Levado Yeshev, he sits by himself. So, you can't even have another tummy person with him at all. So, he's going to be banned and barred from any other area where other tummy people can actually be in. Meaning, as we just got done saying, our tummy mates can go so far interior as a Machna Levi, as a Harabias. And our Zav and our Zav and our Balkari can go into the Machane Yisrael. They can go into Yerushalayim, up to Har Bais, but not into Har Bais. And where's the Mitzorah going to be? The Mitzorah is going to be even further exterior than all that, i.e., he's going to be outside of Machane Yisrael. So Yachol Yuzavim Utmei Meis Mishtach LaMachane Achas. So I might have thought now that as far as the Zav and the Tamei Meis is concerned, so they're going to be sent out to the same Machane. Meaning, what we so far have established is that the Armitsar is segregated from the other Tameim. Now, he's not going to be with the Tamei Mace, nor he's going to be with the Zav. I might have thought at this point in time that the Zav and Tamei Mace are going to be sent out to one Machane, meaning that they're going to go out to the Machane Levia. So, Tamei Lomar, V'lo Yitamu Es Machanehem. Look at it in the plural. Ite Machane Lezeh, Machane Lezeh. That even our Mace and our Tamei Mace and our Zav are going to be separated one from the other. Div Rev Yehuda, that Shitas Rev Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer Einot Tzarech. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that point is unnecessary. Hari Omer V'yishach Menamachane V'chol Saru V'chol Zav V'chol Tamil Nefesh. Let's take a look at the Pesukim in Parshat Zav. In the Pesukim in Parshat Zav, it's pretty clear that there are going to be three perimeters. Yomar Tamei Meis. Let's start off with the following. The Torah could just simply say Tamei Meis Val Yomar Tamei Zav, and the Torah wouldn't need to include Zav. Why? Vani Yomar, I would have said. So Tamei Meis Mishtachim Zavim Lokol Shekein. If a Tamei Meis is to be sent out, so a Zav Lokol Shekein. So much more Zav also is going to be sent out as well. Laman Emar Zav Litein Lo Machanishnia. What the Torah is telling us is that the Zav has to go out an extra perimeter. So that means that the Tamei Meis has to be banned and barred from the Machane Shechina. That's the most interior. The Zav, by virtue of the fact that the Torah didn't need to write it, because it would have been obvious, by virtue of the fact that the Torah wrote it, is telling us that he's going to be banned even an extra level. Our Zav cannot go into the Machane Levia. Litein lo Machane Shechina. V'yomer Zav v'al yomer Mitzorah. Now the Torah could have said Zav and stopped right there. The Torah didn't have to write Mitzorah. V'yani Amar Zav v'mishach Mitzorah lo kol shekein. If the Zav is sent out, how much more so the Mitzorah going to be sent out? Lama nemar Mitzorah. Why the Torah sent out the Mitzorah? Litein lo Machane Shlishis. The Mitzorah has to be banned and barred from even the third perimeter, meaning the Mitzorah has to go out from Machane Yisrael. So now, with that stated, Kishu Amar Badad Yeshev. So now, when the Torah says Badad Yeshev, what is the Torah need to tell us there? So Hakasim Nitkolas say Badad Yeshev is there to be Menatek and to tell me that when our Mitzorah goes into Machane Yisrael, which he's not allowed to do, which he's banned and barred and restricted from going into, but if he goes into it, so Badad Yeshev is coming to tell me that this is a Lav and Itaklas saying good. So that is all the second opinion in the Braisa, otherwise known as the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So the idea that Rabbi Shimon says that's a lav and itak lase, that Shita's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not a lav and itak lase. So good. So now Rav Chista, who says that the Mitzorah going into Machane Yisrael, although violating the Isra Torah, is not going to receive Malkus, so Rav Chista really is following in line with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Masha'in Cain, the other braisa that says that you're going to get Malkus, the other braisa is following like the Shita of Rav Yehuda. It is, in fact, a Machlokas Tanaim. Good. Okay, the braisa made a lot of assumptions, which I just read and went along with the braisa, but we don't at this point in time understand. Meaning the braisa says that if the Torah would have said Tamei Meis, and the Tamei Meis has to be restricted from a certain area, so certainly the Zav. Okay, the braisa said it, I read it, I translated it, Why is it that by a tamei mace is sent out? For sure, Zav should be sent out. Right? What's the logical leap that the Braisa made? And then the next step in the Braisa, where the Braisa says, well, the Torah could have just simply said, Zav, and for sure Mitzar is going to be sent out. And why should that be? So what are these assumptions, built in the assumptions that the Braisa made, that we knew that if a tamei mace has to be sent out, so does a Zav. And if a Zav has to be sent out, so does a Mitzara. What's happening over there? So the Gemara is going to give much more clarity on this particular issue. My chumer de zav mi tamei meis. How is zav more chumer than a tamei meis? So shekein tuma yotze alav mi gufo. So the Gemara says that, well, when it comes to tuma zav, the tuma self-generated. Obviously the zav, the ziva tuma is a discharge that can be had either by a man or by a woman. There are different types of discharges. Back in Masech the Nida, we were much more specific about it, but right now, we could just suffice to say that it is a discharge. So that means that it is internally generated, as opposed to Tumas Mace, which is externally generated. So the Gemara says that's good. So you're right. So that makes Tumas Ziva a level more strict than that of Tumas Mace, but Adarabah, Tame Mace Chamor. On the other hand, we could just simply argue in the other direction. And that is Shekain, Tana Zal Shlishi Ushi. You know, when a person's tummy mace, so how do you mitar yourself? So you have to go through the process of the paraduma. And you need sprinkling on day 3 and on day 7. You don't need that for the zav and zava tumma. So there's a chumra for tumma's mace that you don't have by zav and zava. So it just to simply categorically state that the zav tumma is more chumra than that of the tumma's mace. That's difficult. So amakra tame v'chol tame. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's how the Kal V'Chomer works. Because when the Torah says Zav, it not only says Tameh, but it says V'chol Tameh. L'Rab is Tameh Sheretz. Meaning, not only are we talking about a Zav, but the Kol is coming to include also a Tameh Sheretz as well. Now, Zav Chomer mi Tameh Sheretz. Sorry, let me do that again. Let me do that better. When it says V'chol Tameh regarding the Tumas Mace, so that's coming to include Sheretz, the Tameh Sheretz. Now, here's what we know for sure. We know that Zav is more chamer than Tuma Sheretz. So, my chamer kedamar. Now, how so? So, go back to the point that we made earlier, that Ziva is internally generated. Adarabba Sheretz chamer shekain mitame ba'onis. Now, the Gemara says, I'm not so sure about that, because Tuma Sheretz, which the Gemara, I didn't make this point clear. Let me make it clear. Tuma Sheretz right now, in terms of being cast out of the machanos, Tuma Sheretz is a subcategory of Tumas Mace. That also needs more clarification how we know that, but the kol is coming to be meraba, and the ribui is that the sheretz now is a subcategory of tumas mace. So now what we get to do is we get to compare side by side zav against sheretz. Good. Now what the Gemara is arguing is that we know for sure that zav is more chomer than sheretz because zav is internally generated. What the Gemara now is counter-arguing is, yeah, well, my chomer kedamarn, adarabah sheretz chomer shekein metame ba'onis. Yeah, but you know that the sheretz is more chomer because when it comes to sheretz, whether you like it or not, whether you intentionally touch the sheretz or you were forced to touch the sheretz, you're going to become tame. That's not true when it comes to zav and zava. Zav and zava that come out ba'onis, a person is not going to be tame. Amre. So the Gemara says that part's true. However, they say ki agavna zav name tumoy mitame beones. So the Gemara says, but that's not totally correct. When it comes to zav and zava, there is at least situations in which, or versions of which, there is tumas zav and zava even beones kid Rav Huna. This goes back to a statement made by Rav Huna. The Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, that the first Riya that is experienced by the Zav is in fact going to be Metame Ba'ones. If the first Riya of Zav, a number of times throughout Shas is compared to a Balkari, and that's Afila Ba'ones, and therefore there is Tumas Zav, even Ba'ones, at least for Riya Rishona. Granted, not for Riya Shnia, not for Riya Shlishis, but at least for the Riya Rishona, it's Metame even Ba'ones. Okay? Admittedly, we didn't go over that point super well, but still, the Gemara says in that regard, Sheretz and Zav now are working on the same playing field. So good. So now what we have established is that Zav is more chamer than Tumei Meis. Okay? And again, just to quickly recap, how is that so? Because under the category of Tumei Meis, you have Sheretz, and Zav is clearly more chamer than that of Sheretz. How so? Because Zav is Metame, it's Tumei Yotze Migufo, it's internally generated. Mashen Ki Sheretz comes only externally, not internally. And in that regard, there's no chumra that you have by sheretz that you have over zav. Good. So that's how we know that if the Torah would have just simply said tamei mace, which subcategory goes under it, to Masharet, so then the Torah wouldn't have to have said Zav. Zav now becomes superfluous, and therefore comes to teach me that there's an additional Machana. Good. Now let's move on to the next point. Well, my chomer de mitzor mi zav. Now, mitzor is more chomer than zav. The Gemara says, how do the Brisa know that? Shekain tol priyo frima. Because when it comes to the tuma of mitzora, so you have to, the mitzora cannot cut his hair, and the mitzora also has to tear his clothing. Vasa batash me shemita. And another chomer that you have by mitzora is that the mitzora cannot be with his wife, or mitzoras cannot be with her husband. So adarabba zav chomer, the Gemara says, okay, that's all true. But on the other hand, I can tell you that there are chumers that you have by Zav that you don't have by Mitzara. Shekein metame mishkav omoshav o metame kli cheres beheset. So when it comes to the Zav, so you have tumas mishkav omoshav, the Zav sits on something. Even if there's not direct physical contact between the Zav and the item that he sits on, that item is going to become tame. Additional to that, the item is going to be tame to the same degree of tumah as the Zav himself. The Zav is an avatama. The item that he sits on that's meant for sitting is also going to be an avatama. Yet that's not true by Mitzara. Additional to that, where the Zav is going to be metame kli cheres, by simply moving the kli cheres, that's not going to be true regarding a Mitzara. Rashi over here meticulously goes through all the drushas of how we know these halachas. I'm not going to go through the Rashis right now, but anyway, see Rashi for more details on these halachas, the sourcing for these halachas. Anyway, Amar Krazov L'Rabbos Balkeri. So the Gemara is going to do a maneuver that we did just moments earlier. That even though the Torah talks about Zav in terms of being sent out of the Machanos, the Torah says Kol Zav. Kol Zav is coming to include a Balkeri. So we now know that a Zav has within it the subcategory of a Balkeri. Umitzor Chamar Mi Balkeri. Now we know that the Mitzor is more strict than the Balkeri. The Gemara says that's unequivocal. My Chomer Kedamaran. Now, how's the Mitzorah going to be more strict than a Balkeri? So, for the reasons that we already articulated. Priya, Prima, Isser Tashmish Amita. So, Adarab, the Gemara says, okay, but let's go in the other direction, which is Balkeri Chamor. That really the Balkeri is more Chamor. Why? Shekema Metame Bemashu. Because there's no shear. The Balkeri who has a seminal discharge, regardless of the amount that comes out, so he's going to become Tame. Now, that's not true regarding a Mitzorah. Mitzorah, there is a shear of how much of a spot of a discoloration is needed for the person to become a mitzora. So the Gemara says, Savala k'Rebbi Nasan, Detanya Rebbi Nasan, Omer Mishum Rebbi Shmuel, Zav Tzarech Kechasimas, Pia Ama, V'lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rebbi Nasan happens to be of the opinion that there is a shear for Zav, and we'll also put in that as well a Balkeri, the amount that would fill in the urethra. So there is a shear. So the Gemara says, so really, now there's a shear for Mitzorah, there's a shear for Zav as well. Now it happens to be that the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel is not is not agreed to, and the Chachamim, the Braisa says it very clearly, the Chachamim disagree with him, but at least as long as we're operating within the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, so then there is a shear for Zav and Balkeri. So in that regard now they're operating on the same grounds, and so therefore we have to look at the Chumras of Priya, Prima, Isra, Tashmi, Shemita. So Mitzorah now is going to be more Chumor than a Balkeri. V'itkishle Balkeri LaZav. And so once we have clearly identified a Mitzorah being more Chumor than a Balkeri, and since we know Balkeri and Zav are in the same boat, they're in the same category, so now we are good. We are now going to be clearly putting a Mitzorah above the Balkeri. Okay, v'chol tzaru lamali. Good. So now the v'chol tamei lenefesh, that comes to include the tamasheretz. The kol zav is coming to include a balkeri. Why don't we do that for tzarua when the Torah says kol tzarua? So the Gemara says, I did the kasuk kol zav, k'siv nami kol tzarua. So the Gemara says to that just, look, the Torah already wrote the kol regarding tamei meis. It also wrote it regarding zav. Okay, so the Torah also just wrote it for Kol Tzarua as well. Interesting. Usually, the Gemara makes this argument of symmetry regarding Brisas and Mishnayos. And I don't know how often it happens regarding a pasuk, but here the Gemara is using the same kind of argument regarding a pasuk as well. Okay. V'Rabbi Yehuda Shapikama Rabbi Shimon. So now, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, so you have to contend with the fact that Rabbi Shimon is made an excellent point, meaning we're going to go all the way back to the Brisa. And the two positions that were presented in the Braisa. And right when the Gemara and the Amud Aleph said Tanaihi, it's a Machlokas Tanayim, so now we just went over the Shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon's point is Eino Tzarech, meaning we just went through the progression. The Torah could have just simply said Tamei Meis and we would have known Zav. The Torah could have said Zav and we would have known Metzora. And by virtue of the fact that the Torah lists them separately, so that comes to tell me that there's a new machane that's encountered for each one. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, what does the Torah do when the Torah says Badad Yeshev, that the Metzora has to be Chutz Machane, because it's not there to tell me where the Metzora can't go in. I already know that based on the progression. So what do we do with Badad Yeshev? So that is to create a Lavani Tekla Asay. That's all the point of Rabbi Shimon. And now the Gemara says, now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do with all that? Meaning that seems to be all a very good point. So Ha'umi Baile Lechedetan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Pasuk is coming to teach me the following. And that is Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yachol Dachku Zavim Mitzorim V'nichnasu Lazar V'Pesach Haba B'Tumah. Let's say it happens to be a year of Pesach Haba B'Tumah. The majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Meis. And now, we are giving allowance for a group of people to come in and offer Pesach B'Tumah. But which group of people? As we've already established, the only people that can bring in Pesach B'Tumah is Tamei Meis. And now, people who are, let's say, Zav and Mitzrayim, so they're looking around and they're saying, wait one second, they get to go in, we should go in as well. Now they're not right, they have no allowance whatsoever, but they do go in. So I might have thought, look, they don't have a heter, and since they don't have a heter, so we're back to what their standard default halach is. When a person is tamei and goes into the area of the Beis Hamikdash and partakes of karbano, so that person's going to be chayv karis. So I might have thought now, so for our mitzora and for our zav, who do not have an allowance to go in, so they're going to be chayv karis. So tamalomer vishachum and amachana kol tzeru v'chol zav v'chol tamala nefesh. So b'sharshet tamei meisim mishtachin, zav v'mitzora mishtachin, ain't tamei meisim mishtachin, ain't zav v'mitzora mishtachin. So the Gemara says is that the punishment, the onish of the Zav and Mitzorah are going to be linked with the Tamei Meis. When the Tamei Meis is going to be set at a Issur D'oraisa with a Karis penalty of going into the area of the Beis HaMikdash, so the same thing is going to be true regarding our Zav and regarding our Mitzorah. However, once there is an allowance for the Tamei Meis to go in, so the Issur Karis is going to be removed from the Zavin and Mitzorim. Now, they don't have a Heter Gamor, meaning they're somewhere in limbo right now. They don't have a Heter Gamor to go in. The Heter Gamor is only given for the Tamei Meis. But what they do have is a lifting of the Onish. The Onish of Karis is going to be lifted, and they're going to be Pater. If they do go in, they're going to be exempt, meaning if they ask the question, can we go in, the answer is going to be clearly no. What if they do go in? They're going to be exempt, excused from an Issur Karis if they do, in fact, go in. Amar. Zav v'chol zav l'rabos balkeri. So the Gemara over here is going to be describing zav v'chol zav to include also a balkeri. Upon further review, we're going to stop over here. We're going to pick it up. We're going to pick it up tomorrow from this point in time. Good. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, Samach Zayin. So we had one topic of discussion in today's daf, and that is the idea that that not only is the Karban Pesach going to be overriding Shabbos, that was Samach Vav, but today's daf, Samach Zayin, is that the Karban Pesach is also going to be overriding Tumah as well. But after having gone through today's daf, we now know a lot better. It's not overriding all Tumah, it's only overriding Tumas Meis, and that's only when the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Lameis. Then and only then is there going to be a special heter where the Karban Pesach can be brought B'Tumah. And not only is it going to be the Karban Pesach, but also the Karban Tumid as well can also be brought in a state of Tumah. Good. And we're going to be discussing this much in much greater detail over the course of the Masechta, but today we just simply established from where do we know this, where is the main source of this idea that Pesach is brought Afila B'Tumah. So, in the beginning of today's daf, we went through two possibilities, that of Rav Yochanan and the second of Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan learns it out from the pasuk where the Torah talks about who gets postponed to Pesach Sheni, Ish. The Torah describes in Parshas Baloscha when individuals are in fact tamei, so they're going to get postponed to Pesach Sheni, which means to say that if the community is tamei, so they don't get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but rather they're going to be able to bring it in a state of tumah on Pesach Rishon. That's Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish didn't like Rav Yochanan because Rav Yochanan really made two separate points, meaning one point is that you don't get postponed to Pesach Sheni. But the second point that you do, in fact, offer it on Pesach Rishon, that the Torah doesn't say. And Reish Lakish felt it just simply went too far. Where does Reish Lakish learn out this halacha that a Tamei Meis is, in fact, going to be able uh, to, uh, to bring a Karban Pesach. So he learns it out from the Psukim of Yishachum and Amachne, Kol Tzeru V'Chol V'Chol Tamil and Nefesh. And according to Reish Lakish, look, the Tamei Mace becomes perfectly superfluous because if the Tamei Mace is sent out, so for sure the Zavon and Mitzrayim are sent out as well. It's funny, at the early part of today's daf, we just went along with it, with that statement of Reish Lakish. We didn't understand it. Meaning, how did Reish Lakish know that? Okay, good. But after having gone through today's daf, so now we know that there are certain chumras that you have regarding Zav and Mitzrayim that you don't have by Tamei Mace. Because when we say Tamei Mace, we also include in that as well Sheretz. So there are chumras built in. So the Torah didn't need to mention Zav, and the Torah didn't need to mention Mitzrayim. But by virtue of the fact that it did, that comes to tell me that there are going to be circumstances that for Tumas Mace, Tamei Mace is allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash when the others are not. When is that going to be? Pesach Chabah B'Tumah. Good. That's the source according to Reish Lakish. Abaye went and was critical regarding the source of Reish Lakish, and not only that, but also resurrected the Pshat of Rav Yochanan. Good, and that was the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf is the Chiddush of Rav Chista. Rav Chista said that when a Mitzara who is restricted from all three Machanos cannot be in Machane Shechina Levia nor Yisrael, when he goes into Machane Yisrael or Levia, or goes without saying Machane Shechina, so when he goes in, he's not going to get Malkus. Even though the Torah writes it as a lav, he's not going to get Malkus. Why? So Rav Chista argues it's a lav, and itak la say. We're going to take the pasuk of Badad Yeshev by Mitzora and use it as a nituk, as a way of rectifying the lav that he did, the lav that he violated. And so it's a lav, and itak la say. And again, that's the way Rashi presents it. Again, Tosos does not like Rashi's presentation, but that's the way Rashi presents it. With that stated, the Gemara notes that Rav Chista is saying a Chiddush, and the Braisa goes against Rav Chista. The Braisa says very clearly that when the Mitzara goes into the restricted area, right, Machane Yisrael is restricted area. So when the Mitzara goes into restricted area, the Braisa says he's going to get Malkus. Good. So what's Rav Chista going to do about the Braisa? So the Gemara says in Samach Zayin Amanov, towards the bottom of the Amud, second half of the Amud, the Gemara says it's a Machlokus Tanaim. Machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda, whether or not the Badad Yeshev is a lav and itak lase. According to Rabbi Shimon, it is. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is not. And so therefore, Rav Chista's statement was going according to Rabbi Shimon, and the Braisa was going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And for the balance of today's daf, we seek understanding. The Braisa says that according to Rabbi Shimon, you know, if the Tamei Mace is sent out, so for sure the Mitzrayim is going to be sent, for sure the Zav is going to be sent out. And if the Torah would have said that the Zav is sent out, for sure the Mitzrayim is going to be sent out. And so what the Gemara did for the remainder of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph and a good part of Samach Zayin Amud Beis is trying to explain to us how these Chumras work, meaning how are these points so obvious and so clear. Good. So that's what the Gemara did up until the middle of Samach Zayin Amud Beis. And then in the middle of Samach Zayin Amud Beis, so we just simply addressed what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the Pesukim of Rabbi Shimon? Meaning Rabbi Shimon seems to be making an outstanding point. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with this? So what Rabbi Yehuda does is he learns a different halacha, he has a different drasha. Notably, that once there is an allowance of Pesach Chabah B'Tumah for our Tamei Mace, so for our Mitzorah and for our Zavim, who are not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, not allowed to offer Karban Pesach, but at least they are going to be linked with the Tamei Mace, in that the Isser of Karis is going to be lifted. Good. And then, where we leave ourselves off for tomorrow morning is Zav V'Chol Zav L'Rabbas Bal Keri. Okay, we're gonna speak a little bit more about this the idea of a Bal Keri being restricted. I'm gonna speak about the Chiddush of Rav Yochanan, but that we start with tomorrow morning.